All right. Well, we got 15 minutes left, and I'm going to just hit some things really quickly, and then we'll finish up. But I just wanted to have you see, you know, just another example. But it's, you know, we've been talking about how to be a leader, you know, some of the principles from a couple examples. And I gave you more in the outline if you want to examine those more. And we talked about motives for leadership. And I just want to give you some perils or some dangers of leadership before we quit. And again, it plays out right here in the book of Numbers. We have a great example in Numbers chapter 11. The children of Israel being led by Moses, they're led out of Egyptian bondage. They were serving really tough taskmasters. And they get out of that land, and because things weren't just so for them, they began to complain and murmur against Moses and say, you know, their view completely changed of, you know, back in Egypt before they were oppressed and it was so terrible and they needed a deliverer and they were crying out to the Lord. And now that they're out, they say, man, I wish we were back in Egypt, that land that flowed with milk and honey. Are you kidding me? You know, they completely had forgotten what it used to be like. But those are the kind of people that Moses was dealing with. And so here are some lessons from Numbers chapter 11. And I'm not going to read the passages, but I'm just going to summarize some things. But the first peril or danger was discouragement. It has to be discouraging to be doing what you're supposed to be doing and then constantly have people not liking it, complaining. Elders, you know, I try to write to them periodically and just give them a pep talk because they need it. I'm aware of a lot of things that they have to deal with, and there are some hard to get along with people in the church who constantly are, this isn't the best, you could have done better, you could have, and that has to weigh on men who are doing the best they know how to do, and yet they don't get a thanks, they don't get, you know, they just get complaining. That's where Moses was. The people, he was called to lead people that were disgruntled, dissatisfied, and Moses, I mean, it even caused him to question God. Look at verse 11 of chapter 11. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Does that not sound like frustration boiling over? What in the world? They're not my kids. Why do I have to take care of them? I have to carry them like a baby? There's a lot of frustration that comes out of Moses on this occasion. And I'm reminded of Galatians 6 and verse 9. Do not grow weary in what? Well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you don't lose heart. Just all I can say is hang on. Don't give up. And I saw a number of years ago, like I said the other night, I'm really nationalistic when it comes to the Olympics, but there was a guy by the name of Eric Mozambani, the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, Australia. He came from Ecuador, New Guinea. His training, it was like one of those underprivileged countries given a pass so that their athletes can compete. He was one of them. He was not good by any stretch of the imagination. When he practiced in a hotel pool outside if it had rained enough for there to be water in it. Also, he would practice in the ocean, but he had to have somebody watch for crocodiles. You know, that's the kind of athlete. So they have all the guys. There's eight lanes. Everybody went. There were three heats that went. And he was in the last heat, and it was just him and two other guys. And so they get up on the blocks, and the two other guys default. You know, they jump in too fast. Now, you can do that once, but if you do it twice, you're disqualified. Both those guys jumped in early the second time. So they're disqualified. They don't even race. It's just him racing in the pool all by himself. And off he goes, and he's swimming. And, man, you know, some people cut through the water just, you know. And he was more like doggy paddling. You know, his body was almost vertical in the water. And you know how they do that flip against the wall on the backside? Oh, my. You know, his was terrible. And as he was coming back, he almost stopped still in the water. His arms were still flailing. But later he said, I'd never actually swam that far in one, you know, without stopping before. That was the first time. And he was exhausted. And as he was nearing the end, one of the announcers, I remember, said, he looks more like an energetic drowner than he does an Olympic swimmer. That was the commentary on this guy. But he finished. He was 2 minutes slower than the guy who won the race. But he said when he was interviewed, in fact, he got more press than the guy who won the gold medal because of his endurance. And he said, how could I stop when that whole stadium was cheering for me? And I love that answer because it really, how can you stop serving the Lord when the throng of heaven is on your side cheering you on? People may be discouraging, but don't let them dictate to you how you're going to live your life. You're serving for the Lord first. And while that they may make it difficult, don't stop because of them. The second thing is there's a peril of jealousy and indispensability that comes with leadership. We may get to thinking that nothing can be done unless I have my hand in it. Nobody's as smart as I am. Nothing will work unless I'm involved in it. And there's this, a hierarchy. You know, I'm up here and everybody else is down here. And that can sometimes happen. Paul warned of that in the qualification for elders. He said, this guy cannot be a novice, lest what? He'd be puffed up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. There's a possibility that you be put in and given authority that it goes to your head. And so he says there's a possibility of indispensability. In this passage, God began to give gifts to various individuals within the camp of Israel. And Joshua comes running to Moses and says, Moses, I heard other guys prophesying, and what are we going to do about that? We got to stop them. And I got to hand it to Joshua. He's just so faithful to Moses. He doesn't want anybody treading on his turf, and he's trying to protect Moses. There are other guys that are prophesying. They're doing what you do. This isn't good. And Moses said, well, I would to God that everybody could do what I'm doing. I'm not jealous of them. And we need that kind of attitude in leaders. Instead of being discouraged and jealous of the successes of others, we need leaders who rejoice in the successes of others. Peter told us to love the brotherhood, not our congregation. And you know, in towns like in Knoxville, there's a church on every corner. And I have said this many times to the other preachers in town. We need to share announcements with each other. You know, because there's a tendency for churches to get competitive. You know what I'm talking about? And we all want somebody to come here and then they'll go over there and, you know, all those kinds of competition things. And I think we need to do a better job at emphasizing we're on the same team. And I want us to share. If West End in Knoxville has a baptism, I want us to be able to announce it at Carnes and say, hey, at West End, somebody obey the gospel, and we rejoice with them. And there needs to be that kind. We're not, if you're viewing the guy across town as your enemy, you're looking at it wrong. They're your teammate. And so there is, though, this peril of jealousy. And I've seen that happen in churches and in elderships. And I'm not talking about a church that's unfaithful and they've gone off the rails. I'm talking about good churches, but they've just developed competition through the years instead of cooperation. There's a peril of being rejected. This had to have been hard for Moses to hear them say, we want a new leader. We don't like you anymore. In fact, they wanted to stone him to death. It wasn't just, it's time for you to step down. We're going to replace you. We're going to kill you. That's how much we hate you. We want to put you to death. Man, if you had given what Moses had given to those people and then hear them say those kinds of things, that'd be really hard. Disappointing. It's one of those things, well, we used to say it this way as kids. I'll take my ball and go home. Did you ever have, we had a boy that had hockey equipment. We lived kind of in the north, and he lived from Canada and moved into our neighborhood. He had all kind of hockey gear, and so none of us did, but we all shared his. But whenever things didn't go his way, he'd take all of his hockey gear and go home and leave us, you know, okay, I guess we'll play some ball now, you know. But that's the way it is in churches sometimes. Elders will say, if you're not going to respect me any more than that, then I quit. I'm not going to help anymore and see how you do then. There's that peril of being rejected. And then point number D, the peril of resentment and revenge. Hurt people hurt people. And when people hurt the elders, it's real easy to have like a bad attitude back toward them and, you know, tighten the screw on them for some situation. And Moses had an opportunity to retaliate against the Israelites and say, you know, on occasions God said, Moses, get away from these people. I'm just going to send down fire from heaven and just destroy them all, and I'll start all over with you, and I'll make this nation all over. And Moses would intercede and say, don't do that, Lord. For your name's sake, don't destroy them. The people will talk, and it won't bring glory to your name. He was more interested in God being glorified than his own selfish desires. And those are the kind of leaders that we need. These perils existed in the day of Noah, or excuse me, Moses. And I would encourage you to read the passages sometimes when you get by yourself. We don't have time to do it. And look at how it all plays out. It is so relevant to today. We can't fall into the trap of those dangers. And hopefully we can overcome them in the same way that Moses did. I hope some of the thoughts have been helpful. You know, Jerry Barber, who's kind of a guy that he has some things to say sometimes that I'm scratching my head about. But he's the kind of guy that whenever I'm around him, I've got to write something down. Like he comes off with something, and I go, oh, I never thought of that before. That's brilliant. One of the things he always says is, I don't want you to remember everything that I said. I just want you to remember one thing and put it into practice. And if there is one thing that you leave here with that can help you, then I feel like that's good. and we've accomplished something. But anyway, it's been great being with you, and I look forward to being with you the rest of today and tomorrow as well. I'll be preaching Sunday morning, and it's been a good opportunity for me to get to meet you. And sometimes we go places to preach, and you go to be an encouragement to those churches. I'm sure David has the same. I go home encouraged because of the people, and that's one of the blessings of being able to do this.